great things for this church. And so as we enter into this service today, let's just have an expectation or an atmosphere of thankfulness, that we're thankful for what God has done in our life, and we're thankful for what he's going to do in this service. So won't we just do that today? Won't we just thank him for everything he's done? Let's thank him in advance for what he's going to do in this place today. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you're working. We thank you, God, for what you've done before. God, but I'm thanking you in advance for how you're going to move today. I'm thanking you, Lord, for how you're going to work in this place today. I'm thanking you, Lord, because you're still on the throne, because you're still faithful. God, because you're the great I am. God, you're which was, which is to come. And I'm thanking you for it today. Move in this place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real, and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one. like you, Lord. There's no one 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 like you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy.
Waymaker,
Can you put the chorus on the screen? We're singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. That's who he is. That's not who he wants to be. That's not who he hopes to be. That's who our God is. So if you came into this place needing a way where there seems to be no way, if you came just barely holding on to a promise, he's the Promise Keeper. If you're in a dark place, if you're all alone, you don't know where you're at, he is a light in that darkness. God is here today for you, to meet you at the point of your need. Whatever you need him to be, he's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. We're going to move into a time of prayer. And before we do, we want you to come forward. If you have any need, we're going to pray with you and believe that this guy, this person, this God we're talking about is here to do whatever you need him to do. Before we do that, we do have a couple of special needs. We want to lift up Sister Jane is sick, Sister Atkins is sick, Gio is sick, Johnny is sick, a lot of people is sick. Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Healer, the Physician, whatever you need him to be, he's here today. We invite you to come forward. We are going to pray with you. We are going to believe with you and believe that God is here to work and to touch. Why don't we lift up all of these needs before him, and let's just begin to pray and call upon him right now. In Jesus' name, God, you're in this place. God, the Almighty is in this place. Come on, cry out to God right now. Bring your need to him right now. Come on, he's able to touch. He's able to move. God, we need you right now. God, work in this place. God, work in this place. God, move in this place. God, we need the Miracle Worker. God, we need you to move. We need you to work. We need you to do something in the supernatural. There are needs that are presented here. God, work right now. God, I pray, let faith arise. God, increase our faith in what you can do. God, we believe that you're working. We believe that you're here. We believe that you're here. Come on, step out in faith if you need something today.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Yes, hallelujah.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, 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 you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, 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 you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Him up. Let's lift him up right now. God, you're worthy. God, you're holy. God, you're worthy, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, for what we feel here. He is here today. There is no reason, there is no excuse, there's no reason you should leave this place the same way. If you came in carrying hurt, you can leave it in this altar. If you came in carrying pain, it can be left in this altar. Whatever bitterness, depression, fear, doubt, he's a way maker. He's here to work and he's here to touch. Amen. Amen. We thank you, God, for what we feel today. Amen. Amen. God is in this place. God is here today. If you can't tell, if you can't, what you're feeling, if it feels like something out of the ordinary, that's the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's God's Spirit. He's here to work. He's here to touch. He's here to do whatever you need him to do. Amen. Amen. As our ushers would prepare to take up today's tithe and offering, a few announcements for the week. We will have prayer here tonight at 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, there'll be ladies' prayer at 7 p.m. here in the church. We still have peanut brittle for sale. Right, Sister Darlene, we still have some peanut brittle for sale. We have 10 patties and 5. Get it while it's hot. I mean, it's not actually hot, but it's still good. I took some home to my mom for Thanksgiving, and she said, I'm not lying. She said it's the best peanut brittle she's ever had. So, I mean, if you want to trust my mom, you should get some peanut brittle today. This coming Saturday, everybody say Saturday. Say cake. They will be our children's program Saturday night at 6 p.m. Our kids have been working diligently for the last 2 months, Sister Connie, something like that. They've been working hard to prepare a Christmas program, cake, Christmas acts of kindness for every experiment. I was close, 75%. That will be this Sunday, or this Saturday night at 6 p.m. Afterwards, we can't have cake without cake, so we will be having cupcakes downstairs, and we invite you to come and fellowship with us. Invite someone. It's very easy to bring somebody to this. It's a kids program. We want to support our children's ministry this Saturday night. And looking ahead at the following Saturday, we will be going caroling. We have a few places scheduled. If you are interested in caroling, see Sister Darlene in the back. She will take care of us for that. Before we take up our offering, do want to recognize a few people. So good to see Jim and Heather again with us today. Good to see them. Good to see Jill and Tiffany here with us. And it's good to see Jake over there, Spencer's brother Jake, and Jenna. Good to see you, Jenna. And then also Janet, Sister Joella's sister, not her friend, well, her friend and her sister in town today. And it's so good to see you, Faith. Glad to see Faith here. Connor on the front row. We do have a special announcement, and it's very, 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 very important. And involves two of our very, 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 very important people here today. Brother Spencer and Sister Allie are engaged. So if you notice Sister Allie worshiping like this, that might be the reason. So make sure you greet all of our guests and visitors today, but make sure you give Allie a big hug and say, do you realize what you're doing? It is Spencer, after all. Spencer knows what he's doing, but does Allie know what she's doing? Just kidding. Just kidding. But make sure you greet all of our visitors today. Brother Mike, would you pray over today's tithe and offering?
Give up. are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
Welcoming our guests and visitors. My in-laws are in town today, and I knew that my in-laws were in town today, and I intentionally left them out because I was going to give them a special greeting. But then I thought as I was walking down, well, now I didn't do this, and now people probably think, like Brother Al thought, you forgot about your in-laws. I could never forget about my in-laws. But as we move forward in this service, I do want to take just a moment and say it's so good to have my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, Keith and Beth Paris, here today, or Nani and Poppy, as they've become. So if you call them Nani and Poppy, they will respond to that. But my father-in-law, they are the assistant pastors of Cornerstone Church in Litchfield, Illinois, and have done just a wonderful job of raising two just great young people, great people. I don't know what they are. They're my wife. It's my wife. But I'm very thankful for them, and I would like my father-in-law just to take just a second and just to greet the congregation today. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Very thankful for them being here today. And I'm also thankful my brother-in-law, Weston, he's going to be ministering in just a second. I told you when they were here a month ago, I said you'll be hearing from him very soon. You just didn't know it'd be this soon. But he is a thriving, almost evangelist, somewhat evangelist. He is very involved with campus ministry down in Litchfield and Edwardsville, Illinois, and has a heart for people, has a heart for the Word. I'm excited that he's here today to minister to us. So won't you please welcome Weston, Brother Weston Paris, as he ministers today. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, you guys didn't know it was going to be this soon, and I didn't either. So, as we're leaving, I think we were just heading home on a Sunday night, and Titus said, well, when you're coming back, why don't you preach the next time you come? And I'm like, you just told them. Like, they don't even know me yet. They're not used to me yet. Can they get used to me first? But no, I am thankful for the opportunity to be here. And you guys have wonderful pastors. I know everybody says that, but I mean it. I truly mean that. I've said this before, but my whole life, I've had the greatest sister. I mean, you guys know her. You've had the opportunity to get to know her. She's an awesome, awesome woman of God. And most people, their spiritual authority in their life, it's like their pastor, their parents, whatever it is. I will tell you, if Lauren tells me to do something, I do it. You have someone who is, both of them, they are shepherds. They will tell you what you need to hear, not always what you want to hear, but my sister has told me some things before. You need to do this, you need to do that, and immediately I say, I got to listen, I got to do that, because they are truly, to me, I told my parents, I'm like, they're my spiritual authority. They're part of it. I listen to them. I listen to what they say because they're looking out for me. So you do have amazing, amazing pastors. And I am so thankful to be here. And I love this church. I wouldn't ask for a better church for them to come and be involved in after they left Addison. So I'm so thankful for you all as well. It's going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be a great day. Amen. Anybody believe that? It's going to be an awesome day.
Yes,
and
amen.
God's going to do a great thing. He's going to do an awesome work. Brother Titus is right. My brother-in-law. I don't want to call him anymore. Titus, Pastor Johnson. I don't know. If I call him Titus, you know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. But he's right. I do campus ministry, and that's really where my heart is. I work every single Monday night. We go and we have Bible study on our campus, and that is what I feel called to right now. I preach out a little bit, but right now, campus ministry is where it's what I love. I love people. I love reaching out. But I am so excited for this opportunity today. Why don't we jump right into things here? And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 100. If you have your Bibles, or if you don't, you can just look on the screen. I'm sure it's up behind me. And let's read that together. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's all pray, and before we do that, my title of my sermon today is The Cause of Triumph. The Cause of Triumph. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, this opportunity to be in your wonderful presence. Lord, we know that you're going to do a mighty work in this place. We have high expectations for what you're going to do. I pray, Lord, right now for this congregation, that if there be any doubt in their mind, that they are victorious today. I bind that thought, and we lose victory, and we lose triumph into this place right now, because we know you're going to do a great and mighty thing. I pray that we would be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Lord God, I pray that you touch the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Psalm 100 is it's an amazing chapter. You may be seated. It's an amazing chapter. You've probably heard that before if you've been around church for any period of time. And some of you might be able to just get up and quote it. It's only five verses. So it's a pretty common scripture. And it's where we get the statement, you know, enter his gates, or enter into his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. That's where we get that. And it's pretty easy to remember that from Psalm 100. And it's said so many times, it almost seems that like every single time someone comes to lead service, they come up like, why don't we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise? And that's the thing. And everybody's like, woo, let's do that. And that's what Psalm 100 really is. I feel like I remember it for. But what really caught my attention about this chapter was it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I kind of, when I read that, I thought to myself, what is even a joyful noise? I mean, I'm sure you're happy, but am I just yelling? Am I just screaming with a smile on my face? Ah, I don't know if that's what a joyful noise is. So I began to kind of look into it and look into what a joyful noise is. And that word, or that term, joyful noise, actually comes from the Hebrew word ruah, which means to triumph. And I found that very interesting because it says triumph, all ye lands. Everyone triumph. All the earth has to triumph. And there's no exclusion in that scripture. None of us are excluded. It says triumph, everyone. No matter where you are, and even in the Hebrew, when it begins to talk about all you lands, it's all the earth, or in the mountains and in the valleys. So you have to triumph in the mountains, but then also we have to triumph in the valleys. Isn't that an interesting thing? And I thought to myself, that is interesting, because I feel like triumph, it's reserved for the winner. Triumph is always reserved for someone who's winning. No one triumphs when you lose. That doesn't make any sense. You don't see people going out and having parades for the last place team or the second place team even. I'm a Cardinal fan. We didn't win. We didn't have a parade. Nothing. I wish. The St. Louis Blues, they won, and we had a parade. It was awesome. But you don't have parades for last place teams. They're not like, everybody, we might get the number one draft pick. Come on, let's get together and have a party. No, we're all crying when it's over, right? It doesn't make sense to triumph. And some of you, you might feel that way right now. That I'm not winning. How am I supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Or how am I supposed to serve the Lord with gladness when I'm not glad? Anybody ever come to the church or doing some work? I work for my church at home, and not all, I'm going to admit to you, don't tell my pastor, that sometimes I'm not glad to clean. Sometimes I'm not glad to clean. And I'm just being very transparent, is that sometimes I'm walking in, I got headphones on, and I'm just sweeping and doing whatever. I don't even know what that was. But I'm doing it kind of angrily. And that's not right, because the Bible tells us, serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why can't I seem to get it right? And sometimes it's because I don't understand this whole triumph thing. When things aren't going good, how come I have to make a joyful noise? How come I have to triumph? It's pretty crazy, because even when you have a broken home, it says triumph. Even when you've been sick for years and there's an ailment in your body and you have not been able to get away from it, it says triumph. But I'm losing. It says even when you've been dealing with sin and you've been and over and over again, you fall and you don't understand. You think you could never get through it. It says triumph. And that is something that is so weird to me. Can I just be honest with you? That's weird. Because as humans, everything in life we know everything is just getting worse. Food. I used to work at Deerberg's, a grocery store, and if the apples were out for too long, they started to get bruised, they started to get bad, and that's why they didn't want you just to take the new apples and dump them on top of the old ones, because then all the old ones would decay on the bottom, and then it would just be in a bad situation. So they would tell me, you need to move the old ones over and then pour the new ones in and then put them back over so people will buy those, because they will go bad. And that's all we know in life, is that things just go bad. We buy technology, and a couple years later, after we buy this phone or this iPad or this thing, it's like planned obsolescence is what they call it. They make it to where it destroys, so you have to spend another $1,000. And that's all we know, is that things constantly are getting worse. Our bodies break down. They truly do. And I never thought that I would experience my body breaking down, but I played basketball, and you'll hear me tell a story later, in high school, and I know some of you are thinking, like, get over it, you're 23 years old. You don't know what your body breaking down is. But I will wake up from time to time, and I'll just be running up the stairs, and my ankle that I have rolled 100 times is just in, like, it's in such pain, it's almost as if I rolled it again, and all I did was step out of bed. It's those things, your body breaks down. So we only know life is something that is losing value and losing things. And I know I'm a real downer right now, but I promise I'm going somewhere. I know I'm a real downer, but listen, that's all we know. And in our minds, when it comes to godly things, when it comes to spiritual things, we think, when I have fear, the fear is just going to get worse. And when I'm sick, I'm just going to get more sick. And when my back hurts, it's just going to hurt worse. And we just think, whenever I'm in sin, it only gets worse and it'll never get better. And it's interesting that we do that, because that is not at all the way God is. We have our own way in our mind, thinking that things are going to get worse, but the Bible tells us that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Amen? And Genesis 1, 3 through 5, you want to pull this up. I want to talk about this, how we think things are getting worse. And it says this, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." It's pretty interesting that He says the evening and the morning were the first day. Because we think of a lot of times, I mean, I do, maybe I've been wrong my whole life, and I've been taught the wrong way or something. Hopefully, it's all good. But it says the evening and the morning were the first day. And it's kind of funny, because we think of it as, I wake up in the morning, and the day ends, and then it's nighttime, and that's the natural order of things. But the Bible says that the very first day was evening, then morning. And this just kind of shows a little bit how God thinks differently than us, that the way things operate in the spirit is different than the way things operate in our own life. We do day to night, but He made it night to day. And we have this mindset that we go from fear to more fear, and no peace to absolutely no peace. But in here it says that He goes from evening to morning. And I don't think it was just a mistake in the scripture, but instead I really do think that maybe it means that we never ever go from light to darkness in God. But maybe we go from darkness to light. Maybe we go from night to morning. And maybe somebody in this room, you don't go from strength to weakness, but instead in God we go from weakness to strength. Yes. And we go from fear to peace. And that is how it works in God, that we do not have to be afraid, but everything gets better with God. We do not have to fear that. Psalm 35 says this, Psalm 30 verse 5 says this, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Psalm 30 verse 11 says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." We don't go from joy to sorrow. We go from sorrow to joy. Things get better. We don't have to worry. So the next time you think you're losing out, let me tell you, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There's a cause for triumph today, and it's that things get better. Can we clap our hands to the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Another cause for triumph is that He has never lost. God has never lost. Not one battle, not one thing. Even when you think that you're losing right now, he's never lost a battle. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this. I don't know if we got that to you, but if we did, it should be up on the screen. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always, can we all say always, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. One version says it this way, but thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession. I was talking about parades earlier, about sports parades. And that's what it made me think of. That we have these parades, and if you win, you have a great parade in your town, but then it only lasts for a few days, and before long, this off-season's over, and the season starts, and you have to quickly forget that we were the champions, and you have to start playing as if you might lose again. You have to prepare as if we might lose again, but the scripture says that we always are being led by Jesus in a triumphal procession. A triumphal parade, a triumphal festival that we're constantly winning. And I think sometimes we think, is it a possibility that this won't work out? Is it a possibility that I'm not going to be able to make it through this test? And I would like to tell you that you are always being led in a triumphal procession. You're always being led in this festival. And all we have to do is just dance and say, oh, he's won every battle. Oh, I don't have to worry about this. I might be sick, but I'm going to get better. And we triumph because we know he cannot lose. He cannot lose. I'm already coming to a close, and I'm a very fast preacher. Get done quick. Because if I talk for too long, I sound dumb. So I just get through it. But if you'd like to come to the piano, my dear sister Lauren. There's cause for triumph today, folks. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if your family's not where they need to be with the Lord. I don't know if you go home and you argue with your husband and your wife all day, and I don't know if you just can't seem to find joy in anything. I would like to tell you that no matter what your situation is, you have a cause to triumph. There is a reason why you can dance. There's a reason why you can lift up your hands, and there's a reason why you can say, we are victorious. And that cause goes all the way back to one moment. If we think about where triumph comes from, where victory comes from, if we really think about it, we can go back to one moment in time when a spotless lamb hung on a cross. Yes. And he paid the price for sin from past, present, future. He wiped it all away. We go back to that one moment where they brought him in front of a crowd of people and they all chanted, crucify him! Crucify him! They didn't even know that he was the Messiah. He was the King of Kings. Why would they crucify him? Why? They chant, crucify him. They whipped him. They beat him. And they bruised him. And he just continued to take this beating. They hung him on a cross for all to see. And they gambled at his feet. And they even chanted that when they hung him on the cross, they put the crown of thorns on his head. That's a mockery. And then they also mocked him by saying, hail the King of the Jews. Hail the King of the Jews. And a lot of them probably thought, if you're so strong, why don't you just get yourself off that cross and just kill us all? Then you'll prove to us you're the Messiah. But he had a reason. The Bible even says that he told his disciples, he says, don't you know that I could call down legions of angels at any moment. They could take me off this cross. They could take me away from this situation. But because he hung on a cross, we can triumph. We can all stand today. To his enemies, it looked like a man who was broken, bruised, and defeated. But to those who knew him, it looked like a spotless lamb, a Messiah, winning the only victory we would ever need. And after they had done everything to him, they beat him, bruised him, hung him on a cross, done all these things. With his final breath, he yells, "It is finished!" The most powerful words that you could ever hear or ever read in a book. Because when he said, "It is finished," it was for you and it was for me. When he said, "It is finished," he was saying, "You win forever. Every battle, you win. You'll never lose. It's over. It's done. I paid the price. You do not have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. I already overcome the world. It's all good." And my final scripture, Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He's already carried them. That's past tense right there. He carried them already. Every sorrow has been carried. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I'd like to tell somebody today, if you're overcome with grief, the cause for triumph is that he bore our griefs. If you're overcome with sorrow, the cause for triumph is that he carried your sorrow. And if you have been, if you're a transgressor, if you've done so many things, it says that he was pierced, he was bruised for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. We don't have to have this doubt in ourselves, but he's already paid the price. And if you've been broken in your body, if you are sick in body today, I'd like to tell you that the cause of triumph is that by his stripes we are healed. I'm going to open up these altars right now so you can come and you can pray. And I don't know if you want to dance. I don't know if you just want to say this. I think a spirit of triumph needs to enter this room right now. And if you're sick in body, you need to say, "By your stripes, I am healed." That is victorious talk right there. That's victorious talk. When you say, "By his stripes, I am healed." When you say, "He carried my sorrows." Begin to say it out loud right now. Say, "He was pierced for me. He was bruised for me." Every situation, everything I face, he's already dealt with it on the cross. Calvary, he took care of it. Right now in that
before we dismiss, I want to have special prayer. If you came into this place and you feel like you aligned with some of the things he was saying, maybe it's grief, maybe it's sorrow, maybe it's sickness. You just can't see how you could leave this place with triumph. We're going to have special prayer, and I'm going to ask you in faith. This is up to you. No one's going to make you do this, but I'm going to invite those that really just want an answer to prayer. I'm going to invite you to come forward and just right in this front place, and we're going to pray with you. And I'm inviting you. I'm going to pause for a second. We're not drawing attention to anybody. In fact, why don't we all close our eyes? This isn't about what other people are looking at. This isn't about what other people need, but I'm inviting you to come forward, step out in faith, and believe that when we pray today, God's going to do some. Come on, there's some coming. I'm inviting you to come. I don't know if it's a financial thing. I don't know if it's a sickness. I don't know if it's what it is, but just step out in faith and believe that God is going to work. Come on, I'm still inviting a few. There's time. Come on, God's going to do something. I don't know what your need is, but God knows. God knows. God knows. Again, I'm hesitating for a second. I believe that there's still more that want to step out, that want a cause of triumph today. Amen. 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 Come on, it's all right. In the name of Jesus, be bold. Be bold. Step out and believe right now. Step out and believe that your triumph is here. Now I want this whole church to pray. There are some needs that are represented. It doesn't matter what the needs are. We serve the triumphant King of Kings. So all over this place, why don't we lift up our voice? You may not have a need, but there are some needs represented. We are believing that there's going to be triumph whenever they leave this place. In the name of Jesus, I'm inviting the ministry team to come help me pray. Pray with these needs. In the name of Jesus. God, you know the needs that are represented, and I pray, God, Lord, that they would be uplifted. Let faith arise right now in the name of Jesus. Encourage my brother. Encourage my sister. God, do a work. God, do a work. God, do a work. Come on, church. Come on, church. Begin to pray. Begin to call upon God for these needs. These are our brothers. These are our sisters. Come on, they have needs that are represented. Let's pray. Let's pray in Jesus' name.
The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
together as we close. This place, only remembering one thing. Just remember that He is the cause of triumph. Remember, we just sang, He reigns. He didn't reign. He will reign. He reigns continually before us, before time, after time. God reigns. He reigns on the throne. He is the cause of great triumph. Thank you, Brother West, for the word. Why don't we thank God for the word today? Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. God, for encouraging us today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you're dismissed, please greet our visitors. Please greet our loved ones. Please greet everybody. Tell them you love them and you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.